Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
Hi, everybody. Take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 9. I'm going to talk today about checking your spiritual blood pressure. I mean, that must be an important one. Mark chapter 9, verse 1, reading from the Message Bible this morning. Then he drove it home by saying, "This isn't pie in the sky by and by." Aren't you glad that our walk with God isn't pie in the sky by and by? It's in the today and the right now. "Some of you who are standing here are going to see it happen. See the kingdom of God arrive in full force." 6 days later, three of them did see it. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. His appearance changed from the inside out, right before their eyes. His clothes shimmered, glistening white, whiter than any bleach could make them. Elijah, along with Moses, came into view in deep conversation with Jesus. Peter interrupted, "Rabbi, this is a great moment. Let's build three memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He blurted this out without thinking. Stunned as they were by what they were seeing, just then a light radiant cloud enveloped them, and from deep in the cloud a voice, "This is my son, marked by my love. Listen to him." The next minute, the disciples were looking around, rubbing their eyes, seeing nothing but Jesus. Jesus, only Jesus, coming down the mountain. Say, coming down the mountain. Jesus swore them to secrecy. Don't tell a soul what you saw. After the Son of Man rises from the dead, you're free to talk. Sometimes we just have to come down off of the mountain. How many of you like the mountaintop times? We like them, don't we? Wouldn't it be great if everything, all the time, every day, every hour, was a mountaintop? Rocky Mountain High? Wouldn't that be great? A life of everything is coming up roses. Everything transfigured. Everything shimmering, glistening white, whiter than any bleach could make it. Love it. Well, guess what? Sometimes you just have to come down from the mountaintop experience. In fact, most of the time. Back down to the reality of life as usual. Back down to the humdrum times of everyday life. Back down to the reality of life as usual. Some might call these times valleys. We might call them, like some people call them, trials, tribulations, troubles of life. Eeyore called it all me. You know him. But in fact, let me give you a clear head on this. It's not really called ho-hum living. It's called reality. It's life as usual. But I have good news for you. There's a lily for your valley. Who is it? It's Jesus. There's a peace for you in the midst of your storms. You know who it is? It's the Prince of Peace. There's a biblical antidote reaction. Say reaction. That you can enjoy during everyday trials, tribulation, humdrums, reality of life. And it's in Philippians 4:4, and it teaches us this: rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. That's the bar that's been set for us. That's how we're supposed to deal with everyday life, with our spiritual walk with Jesus, rejoicing always. If you really want to know what it's like to be a Christian, then you need to look simply at the life of Jesus Christ, because that's the Christian after Jesus Christ. Huh? He had his high times and he had his low times. But his claim to fame was made in one quick sentence where he said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What you see is what you've got. Now that's taking your light out from under the bushel and putting it on a candlestick. Oh, you don't understand. Yeah, I get high once in a while. Yeah, when you're on a mountaintop. Isn't that nice when you get that, when all that big excitement happens, you get that promotion. Wow, isn't that great? Yahoo! What, you mean I got to work for this? You know? Life's not all the time up here, folks. Being the same yesterday and today and forever isn't a reachable goal, I promise you that. I live with a woman, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know what to expect when I come home. You think you know, but you don't. Being the same all the time is a reachable goal. I'm cluing you in that. Stay emotionally stable. Live a life of praise and thanksgiving. When you walk through the valley, be like David. Fear no evil. Your highs and your lows should always be and look the same. People look at me and say, well, you're the eternal optimist. Every time I see you, something's good's happening to you. Oh, yeah? Your highs and your lows should always be and look the same. One songwriter wrote these words. You might know this song, you might not. When you're up, you're up. And when you're down, you're down. And when you're only halfway up, you're neither up or down. That's a child's song we teach in Sunday school. That's not the way I teach it. I've rewritten the words to say like this. When you're up, you're up. And when you're down, you're up. And when you're only halfway up, you're up, you're up, you're up. Paul the Apostle understood it. This is what he said. I'm glad in God, far happier than you could ever guess. Happy that you're again showing some strong concern for me. Not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me. You just had no chance to show it. Actually, he said, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally ever. I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much. With much as with little. I found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. If you're married to a yo-yo, here's one that's dumber than that. If you are thinking about marrying a yo-yo, that's really stupid. The yo-yo is the one who's not connected to Jesus. The only time a yo-yo is happy is when they're on a mountaintop. When they're down in the valley, you've seen it. A Duncan yo-yo. It's down more than it's up. But if you're connected to Jesus Christ, your downs are equal to your up. For 10 years, I had the opportunity to preach and teach marriage classes all over the nation, all over many parts of the world. Family, husband and wife relationships, I had that privilege. And I know you don't believe this, but I said some things that turned everybody red. Here's one of the most spiritual songs on finding a spouse, whether it's a guy or a girl, or how you should function as in your marriage. This is one of the most spiritual songs that has ever been written. It goes like this. They say don't go on Wolverton Mountain if you're looking for a wife. You hear that? It's what I'm preaching about today. They say don't go on Wolverton Mountain if you're looking for a husband, if you're looking for a wife. Because Clifton Clowers has a pretty young daughter. He's mighty handy with a gun and a knife. And then, of course, this is what you're going up. You know, in other words, here's the moral of the story. If you want to have a happy life, whether it's marriage, whether it's friendship, whether it's on the job, whether it's in the church or wherever it is, if you're going to hook up and be happy, you're going to find somebody. You're not going to find them way up on a mountaintop. You don't look for, you know how you find a wife today? You try them out. You know how you find a husband today? You try them out. They say don't go up on the mountain looking for the spouse. You go down in the low times. Let me tell you something. You can find out if a husband or a wife's going to be a good lover, not by trying them out. You can find out, listen, let me tell you something. There ain't no woman and there ain't no man can be a good lover if they don't know how to handle the rough times and the low times in life. Let me tell you something. That's a sign. If they can't handle the low times, if they're up one day and down the next, in one day and out the next, I'm going to tell you something. They're not going to be a good lover. I promise you that. Didn't expect this morning. I found out. The good news is the Chiefs play at 7:30 tonight, so I can explain this in full detail. Honest, I said, God, I don't want to talk this way. God says, grow up. These people got to hear this stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. This isn't just marriages. It's the friendships you're running around with. If you're running around with bloodsuckers that all they can do is talk bad about the president, all they can do is talk bad about the government, all they can do is talk bad about the school officials, hello, all they can do is carry a bone. I want you to know something. The dog that'll bring a bone will carry a bone. You're next on their hit list. You're the next pile of... But listen to this guy. Her tender lips are sweeter than honey, and Wolverton Mountain protects her there. The bears and the birds tell Clifton Clowers if a stranger enters there, all my dreams are on Wolverton Mountain. Yeah, you find somebody, you pick them up on the mountain. Why don't you take them down to the low times of life and find out what it's like when their back's against the wall. Find out what it's like when the whole world's caving in. Find out what it's like when they're going through the hard times. And if they're the same yesterday and forever, hook up with that chick. Her tender lips are sweeter than honey. Yeah, for the first 15 minutes. Are you getting a message today? Now, I'm not talking about husbands. Well, I'm talking about your business and your spiritual life with God. Paul said, actually, I have a sense of needing absolutely nothing. I don't need anything. Whatever I have, whatever I am, whatever I can make it through anytime in the one who makes me who I am. Now back to our text, Mark 9:5. Peter interrupted. This is the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus shows up, and he's glimmering and shimmering, and everybody's white and beautiful, and it's wonderful. And Peter, big mouth, jumps and said, Rabbi, this is a great moment. Let's build some memorials here on this mountain, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And it goes on and says he blurted this out without thinking. You bet everyone likes the mountaintop times of life. But if you didn't ever notice, when you have all those high, happy mountaintime times, you have to come back down to reality and keep on keeping on. That's where it makes the difference. That's where the rubber hits the road. Mark 9:8, the text says, the next minute the disciples were looking around, rubbing their eyes, seeing nothing but Jesus. Only Jesus. Now, if you take a look at Mark 9:8 and you read that in the Message Bible, it says, seeing nothing but Jesus, only Jesus, coming down the mountain. Now, that phrase, coming down the mountain, he told them, swore them to secrecy. But if you read it in a different light, when you're coming down off of that mountain. I see only Jesus. I see only Jesus. I see only Jesus. I see only Jesus. Are you getting my message this morning? Yeah, the Mount of Transfiguration is beautiful. Human nature has a habit of vacillating between high and low emotions. Life in Christ and life in the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, far supersedes the roller coaster type of living. Being up one day, down the next, in one day, out the next, trusting one day, doubting the next, happy one day, sad the next, cooperative one day, uncooperative the next. You need to plant your feet on a solid rock, Jesus Christ, and begin to live your life according to the Scriptures. Look at 1 Timothy 4:12. Put it up on there for me if you would. Teach believers with your life. Everything you do and everything you say is teaching your children and teaching everyone around you, whether you like it or not. Teach believers with your life, by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. Stay at your post. Read scriptures, giving counsel, teach. And that special gift of ministry that you were given when the leaders of the church and the Holy Spirit laid hands on you and prayed, keep that dusted off and keep it in use. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Cultivate these things. Immerse yourself in them. The people will all see you mature right before your eyes. Keep a firm grasp on both your character and your teaching. Don't be diverted. Just keep at it. Both you and those who hear you will experience salvation. And that's sozo. Both you and your hearers will experience salvation. That means you're going to get some help from heaven. The reason some people get down in the mully grubs like a Duncan yo-yo and they just stay down there and they just keep roaring like the twine is twisted. The reason they stay down there is because they don't walk in an experience with faith. Hello. And so Jesus will not come in like an angel where the angels fear to tread. He will not come rushing in and help you if you're going to be that kind of a bully. You're on your own. Did you ever notice that sometimes after really experiencing a great event that happens in your life, sometimes when the excitement is over, discouragement and even sometimes oppression sets in? I really had a whole sermon written before I wrote this. And I was going to tell you about Elijah, how, man, he went up there and he called down, you know, rain's going to stop for 7 years. And next thing you know, he's sitting out there under a stupid tree wanting to die. See, your biggest battles are always, say always. Your biggest battles always, say always, are going to hit you right after your highest experiences. You're going to have more problems right after you hit the jackpot, right after your heart's desire has been fulfilled, right after everything is coming up roses. Look out, because you're getting ready to hit a low spot. Is that satanic? No, it's not satanic. It's just life. That's the way life is. It comes and it goes. But how you react to it is what makes the difference. Say, well, can I cry? Yeah, you can cry. Jesus sweat great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he kept on keeping on. It shouldn't be that way. I remember in 1962, I brought a almost brand new Pontiac Catalina. Woo! Snow white. Beautiful red leather interior. I hopped in that beautiful vehicle and I headed out of the parking lot with a payment book in my shirt. You talk about when you're up, you're up. That was before seatbelt laws. Before electric windows, you never had to worry about a window getting stuck. You just rolled it up and you rolled it down. Before electric adjustable seats, you never did this and that and the other thing. And ooh, it's hot. You just went forward and backwards. Beautiful. As proud as a peacock. Beautiful white wall tires 4 inches wide. Beautiful white fender skirts. All you young people say, ooh, la, la, that's, but you don't even know what a white fender skirt is. A powerful V8 Pontiac engine. Didn't matter, gasoline was 16 cents a gallon. Didn't matter how much it sucked up. But wait, what's that I see? All of a sudden, within the first 5 miles of coming off of that car lot, there it was, coming straight at me. A brand new, beautiful, cream-colored, four-door sedan Cadillac DeVille. And I'm in a Pontiac? I rubbernecked it coming at me. Never forget it to this day. I rubbernecked it watching it pass me. I rubbernecked it through my rearview mirrors until it drove out of sight. And I said, wow, would you look at that? Someday I want to have one just like that. I could have written the song, I can't get no satisfaction, though I tried. You see, you have to be real careful because the greatest times in your life are not the high times. They're the low times. One songwriter said, in the valley, He restores my soul. Ask yourself this question, where am I today? Am I on a high mountaintop? What was yesterday? What was it like? Or am I in a valley? Are you experiencing withdrawal pains from your last great adventure? Buy another one. Get a bigger one. Earn more. Are you putting salve on a wounded heart? Whatever it is, remember this. According to medical science, you have two measuring types for your blood pressure. I called a nurse into my office, and I said, come up here. I want to talk to you. I need some help on this. I want you to explain to me what is high number and low number. There's a Explain that to me. And the nurse sat down, talked to me about 30 minutes. I told her what I was going to preach on. I couldn't get her out of my office. She's like, wow, this is going to be good. You have a high number and you have a low number. And she tells me that both of them are equally important. You don't want the high to be too high. And you don't want the lows to be too low. She said the top is a systolic number and the bottom is the diastolic. You'd want to always check and be sure that the top number, the systolic, that's the contraction of the heart by which the blood is forced onward and your circulation keeps circulating. You want that number high, but you don't want it too high, it'll blow your head off. But you don't want it too low, you won't have any energy. Keep good blood circulation. And she said the same holds true of the low number. The low number, the diastolic, which is the, and this is the sermon. And the reason I called her in here, because all my life, I've heard people tell me it's the low number you got to watch out for. Has anybody ever heard that? Well, the nurse said that you got to watch out for the high one too. She wouldn't come off of that. But I've heard all my life, it's the low number you got to watch out for. And I'm telling you from experience of so many years pastoring, it makes my head spin. It's the low number that you got to look out for. Because that is the pressure in the arteries when the heart rests between beats. And you don't want that number to be too high or too low. I have a lot of fun with this. When I go into the doctor, when I go into the hospital, when I go in all these things, I look at him and I always tell the lady, look at me. You know what she thinks? Well, I've been looking at you ever since you walked in. No. Look at me. I said, and I almost every time I tell him this, I said, my blood pressure is going to be 122 over 78. Told that to the nurse. She said, wow. You're not only good at everything else, you're good at blood pressure. And usually I hit it within just a number or two, 122 over 78. It's perfect when I'm on top, forcing the blood outward and keeping my circulation up. But as everyone tells me, it's the bottom one that you must be concerned about the most. It's the pressure in the arteries when the heart rests between beats. We have to learn to rest in the low spot. We have to learn to count our blessings when the high Wolverton Mountain is gone. Because this is the time, she says, when the heart fills with blood and it fills with oxygen. And if your low blood pressure is wrong, your heart isn't filled with blood and oxygen to push through your veins to keep the circulation in an area that it needs to be. And I'm here to tell you, it's exactly the same way in your spiritual walk. Because it's in the low times when your heart, when your veins get, and your heart gets full of blood and it gets full of oxygen to keep you alive and well, you were in the high times. Now, think about that. How do you function in the low times? Not just physically, but even more important, how do you function in the low times of life spiritually? And I'm here to tell you, anybody can praise and enjoy when everything is going good. Anybody can do that. And in relationship to Wolverton Mountain, if I can go back to, there ain't a man or a woman on planet Earth that can't possibly be a good lover if they don't have it right in the low times. I'm talking serious, because I'm talking stuff that makes a whole lot of difference in the way your kids are going to live the rest of their life. When you get down to the low times, are you consistent? Do you hang in there graciously? If you're a basket case, a percentage of the time, upright and visible only when you're on a mountaintop, you're missing the biggest and the best times of your life. High times will speak for themselves. But when it comes to the low times, you have to take charge over the negative spirit, over defeat, over disappointment, war of the flesh. Paul said, my flesh wars against my spirit. The things I really want to do for God, I sometimes don't do them. The flesh will only take you one direction, and that's too low, below the low zone. Way too low to function successfully well in life. We need to practice acknowledging that in the low times are the best times. My best times are my low times. In the last 60 days, I went through a pretty low time, just looking at the end of the year and the financial responsibilities of this assembly and wondering how in God's name am I going to get this done. Low time. But it's in those low times when you get on your knees. It's in the low times when you pray. It's in the low times when you decide who you're going to put your faith in and who you're going to put your confidence in, who you're going to follow. You're going to follow a dumbbell or you're going to follow the Word of God. Come on, church. Scary, isn't it? It's in the low times. It's the rest time, not the worry time. A time when your heart fills with Jesus' blood and the very spiritual oxygen His presence, his breath of life flows into you at that low time when everything stops and you rest. And his blood comes in and forces circulation into the rest of your life so that you are more than a conqueror through Christ. And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11 says it this way. Here's a good word for you. Labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. So you might say then, what is the secret of relaxing and resting? I look at my clock. I know there's no secret in this. I'm overshot. I told my wife when I got up out of there about 2 hours ago, I said, honey, good news. She said, what's that? I says, 2 hours and 45 minutes, I'll be taking a nap. You might say then, what's the secret to relaxing? I'd much rather build a tabernacle up here on a mountain, Transfiguration. I really would just rather stay up here where everything shimmers and glistening white, whiter than any bleach could make them. Up there where a light, radiant cloud envelops us, and from deep in the cloud, a voice of God says, yo, everything is cool. Yo, thus saith the Lord, everything is coming up roses. Yo, kick back, have a cool glass of water, cool, clear water. I love it here. Let's build 3 memorials. But verse 8 tells the story as it really is. The disciples were looking around, rubbing their eyes, seeing nothing but Jesus. Only Jesus coming down the mountain. Seeing nothing but Jesus. Only Jesus coming down the mountain. Seeing nothing but Jesus. Only Jesus coming down the mountain. Because I'm getting ready to get down here to the low number, where I can rest and not worry, where I can love and not defend, where I can shout and not boo-hoo. Hello. Only Jesus coming down the mountain. My prayer for you today is that you will adopt Genesis 1:1 person into your life. I told you before that I've been pretty heavy this last few weeks. Carrying financial responsibilities of this church is on my shoulders. I don't know if you know that or not, but it rests right here. We don't tell you when there's needs. We just trust and believe God. And I walked into Josh's class on Wednesday night. Thinking, I'm in a low time. I need to rest. I need to get that blood back in my spirit so that it can pump circulation into my spiritual life. And I sat down in Josh's class. You really want to know the truth? It's the first time he ever taught it. And he said, you can put all your eggs in God's basket. His name is Elohim. El means strong one, he said. And he said, God is a strong one. Ohim means creator. God created something out of nothing. And he went on and he said, God, Elohim, is big enough for whatever is taking place in your life. I did something I don't do very often in that class. Because when I eat popcorn, it sticks in my throat and it takes me 3 or 4 hours to get the hulls out. And when he said that, I reached in that bag of popcorn. I took a big handful of popcorn. I jammed it in my mouth and I said, this sucker's going down and it's going down right. Because God is bigger than those holes sticking in my throat. I ate half a bag. He must have known it because he brought cups. And he says, for those of you who have germophobia, you can dump your popcorn in here and nobody else will touch your popcorn. I thought, I don't give a rip. I'm touching everybody's popcorn. See, where are you at today? Do you think it made God happy when you act like an idiot? Do you think it makes God happy when you're troubled all the time? When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and you tremble like a chicken? He loves it when you're strong in the power of his might. I know we got to close here. Allison will be on my case. He said, God, Elohim is big enough for whatever is taking place in your life. And I'm telling you, that's the truth. It doesn't mean you're irresponsible. It doesn't mean you don't do what God expects of you. But it means that you understand that the powerful God, Elohim, is big enough for whatever is taking place in my life. That's my yesterday. God's erased it. That's my today. He's in charge of it. And my future tomorrow, he is planning it. Hallelujah. God's in charge. Oh, boy. Our worship team and our congregation go into orbit when they sing the song we sang this morning. Faithful you are. Faithful forever you will be. All your promises are yes and amen. So I will rest in your promises. My confidence is in your faithfulness, is your faithfulness. Faithful you are. Faithful you ever you will be. So my challenge to you today is this. Pay attention to the low times. The high number's important, but it's the low times that'll keep you in check. 122 over 78 ain't bad. Say amen. Put it up there. Check your spiritual blood pressure. I want you to bow your heads because I've had a little fun with this morning. Talked about some things that made you red. But I want to tell you, we're the bride of Christ. We need to stand up and be counted. Amen. I could probably preach it on again. I'm going to try not to because I'm so excited about this. Wherever you're at, would you cast your care upon him this morning? Would you do it? Search your heart and your mind just for a moment. To the biggest and the strongest issue in your life that's trying to destroy you. The biggest attack of the enemy that's come up against you. The biggest problem in life that you're facing and you're wondering, what am I going to do? Am I going to make it? Am I going to be like this the rest of my life? Is this how it's always going to be? And I want you to lay it on the altar before God. And you'll say, from this moment on, I'm going to eat popcorn by the bagful. I'm going to enjoy my life. And I ain't going there no more. Devil, not today. Devil, not today. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I submit my mind to you, God. I submit my will to you. I submit my relationships to you. All that I am, all that I have, all that will ever be cannot repay the love debt I owe. I surrender to you, God. I will be like you. I will be a Christian. I will be a Christian. I will let my light shine so that others will see my good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. When I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, before thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's who I am. That's whose I am, and that's who you are. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand.